That really blows. How'd you deal with it?
Even with a slow burn or a series of related progressive images, you don't do it any differently. You still handle one image at a time. Fortunately for me, I had the course and I understood it pretty well when this whole thing started, so my feeling of being devastated didn't last. That's one of the best things about A Course in Miracles. Even if you get broadsided and you're hurting, if you're willing to forgive, then the pain doesn't last anywhere near as long. That alone would be worth doing the course. If you know it's your dream, then there's a part of you that knows there's not really any such thing as injustice. You made it all up, and you got what you wanted for a reason. You got to keep your individuality and project the guilt for it onto someone else at the same time. How convenient! Well, I knew better. When I say it was a slow burn, yes, I had a series of upsets to forgive, because a lot of different things happened one after another. But I was able to forgive them one thing after another. You see, I was already in the habit of remembering it was my dream, and that the dream figures were acting out for me. I'd been practicing for 7 years, and I had the conviction that these people didn't really exist, and neither did their abandonment, the reasons for my embarrassment, or the seeming injustice of it all. As soon as I remembered that, then it would have to logically follow that these people weren't really guilty. If they didn't exist, then where could the guilt be but in me? But if the separation from God never occurred, then I wasn't guilty either. It was hard, but I was able to forgive whatever situation or person was in my thoughts or in front of me and forgive myself at the same time. Now, instead of seeing the other person as guilty, I could see both of us as innocent. How could they be guilty if it's a dream I made up and they're a symbol of what's in my unconscious? When you really get that there's nobody out there but Christ, then you give the other person the gift of forgiveness and innocence. Then, as the Course teaches you, that's how you'll think of yourself. To give this gift is how to make it yours. Then, after forgiving, I trusted Jay, who I knew was also the Holy Spirit. I tried to remember that it didn't matter if I could see results or not. If you work with Jay or the Holy Spirit and practice forgiveness, then you always have an impact. As the Course says, right in the first 50 miracle principles, a miracle is never lost. It may touch many people you have not even met and produce undreamed of changes in situations of which you are not even aware.
You mean like where Artin is right now?
Yes. Not only does the miracle have effects on your own dimension of time, but it also affects other places and times, including your past and future lives.
That's excessively cool. You've given me the nuts and bolts, but I have a feeling it's not as simple as you're making it out to be.
Oh, it is simple, Gary. But I never said it was easy. In fact, I said it was hard, and remembering to do it when you're caught up in things is the hardest part. Sometimes it will seem impossible, but it's not. It's doable and well worth it. The example I just gave you had to be forgiven over a period of months. Sometimes I'd still think of it years later, and parts of it would have to be forgiven again. That's the way it is with the hardest forgiveness lessons in your life. Yet at the same time, you learn that it's just as important to forgive the seemingly little things as you go along. Eventually, you begin to understand that they're really all the same. And the more you practice, the better you'll get at it, and it will seem easier to you at times. The key is doing it and not giving up. Now, I'm going to give you some good news and some bad news. Which do you want first?
I could use some good news. You know how positive I am.
All right. On this level, when the Course asks, why wait for heaven? It means that you can experience the peace of God now. We've said that the Course teaches you that joining with the Holy Spirit and using your right-mindedness is the perceptual counterpart to creating in the kingdom. You don't have to wait to feel good. There will be many experiences of peace when you choose the holy instant. It takes many such experiences to produce the ultimate holy instant of enlightenment. So, now the bad news. It's not really that bad. If I told you it would take quite a while for you to be completely enlightened, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you?
Hell yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say exactly how long it will take, at least not today. Let me ask you a very serious question. how enlightened will you be X number of years from now if you don't practice the Holy Spirit's forgiveness?
I see your point. If it's a choice between being enlightened much sooner or not being enlightened much sooner, then the choice is obvious.
Very good. A brilliant and timeless student. Now, when we told you we were going to be visiting you for 9 years, you asked if you were in the slow class.
I remember.
Well, we said no. The course is a process. It's that way for everyone, unless you're a spiritual genius who is practically enlightened already, and there are only about 20 of them in the world. The bad news is that for everyone else, including you, this is a process that takes time and work. And that's why we emphasized that it's a lifelong spiritual path. There are numerous rewards along the way, some of them beautiful and quite unexpected. But they happen within a difficult process. In the Manual for Teachers, the course talks about a period of unsettling. And now he must attain a state that may remain impossible to reach for a long, long time. He must learn to lay all judgment aside and ask only what he really wants in every circumstance. Only after that can you attain what the course calls the period of achievement, which is the stage of real peace.
A quick question, before I forget. One of the things that really bothers me isn't just when I judge others, it's when they judge me.
Ah, but you see, Gary, their judgment of you is really your own self-judgment that is seen as being outside of you. They're not even there. You keep forgetting that. Yes, it looks like they're really there and the judgment is outside of you, but it's not. When you forgive the other, you're really forgiving what's in your own mind. Their call for love really is your call for love.
Do I always have to do these forgiveness thoughts just right?
No.
I don't have to get the words right in my mind?
No, you don't have to get all the details right. Once you really understand all this, which is why we expect you to continue and deepen your studies, then it will become a permanent part of you. If these kinds of thoughts become dominant in your mind, then it can't help but mean that the Holy Spirit is taking over. Think of these pointers as being meant to help save you time and make you as effective as possible. And the truth is, whenever you think of any of these thoughts that I've talked to you about today, it means you've chosen Jay or the Holy Spirit as your teacher, which is the holy instant. When you remember to do that and forgive, in the quantum rather than the Newtonian sense, and you see your brothers and sisters as innocent like you are, then that is a miracle. And rather than the ego's special relationship, when you join with your brothers and sisters as one in Christ, then that is the holy relationship. If you employ the Course's thought system, you can't miss. The Holy Spirit knows what your intentions are without you having to spell it out just right. But you've got to have the ideas in your mind in order for them to become dominant. Use the ideas I've been talking about today, and they will. With that in mind, and to summarize, here's an example of a forgiveness thought process. Remember that it helps to be on the lookout for the ego's surprises. It takes a sharp mind if you're going to do what the Course says and be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. As the Course informs you, miracles arise from a miraculous state of mind or a state of miracle readiness. In this thought process, the words you and your can apply to any person, situation, or event. It's all right to improvise while maintaining the basic ideas. Also, please note that the Holy Spirit will remember to remove the unconscious guilt from your mind and perform His healing of the universe when you forgive, regardless of whether you remember to ask Him. That's His job, and He's pretty good at it. You have to remember to do your job. If not immediately, then later on. If you completely forget, then you can be confident that the ego script will eventually provide you with a similar opportunity that will do just as well. True forgiveness, a thought process example. You're not really there. If I think you are guilty or the cause of the problem, and if I made you up, then the imagined guilt and fear must be in me. Since the separation from God never occurred, I forgive both of us for what we really haven't done. Now there is only innocence, and I join with the Holy Spirit in peace. Please feel free to use this example of a forgiveness thought process as much as you want in order to help get into the habit of forgiveness.
I like that. Now all I have to do is remember to think like that when the battle is raging.
Relax, Gary. The war's over, whenever you remember the truth. I'm going to take off now, but I know you'll forgive me. In fact, Jay says in his course that he knows you'll eventually listen to him and practice true forgiveness. And thus will all the vestiges of hell, the secret sins and hidden hates be gone, and all the loveliness which they concealed appear like lawns of heaven in our sight, to lift us high above the thorny roads we traveled on before the Christ appeared.